The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have, I like these shows. I like the shows where I can chop it up with people that are very different in where they are in their spaces in life. Goody is going to be with us today, Bill Goody-Kuntz. He is on the road to pick up his daughter in college in Missouri. So he's somewhere out there across the fruited plain of the United States of America. We'll have Goody jump on in. And Drew Maggi is going to be with us. In fact, we'll have Drew at 10:20. Drew, of course, went to Brophy, was a lifetime minor leaguer until he was called up last year. He had 1,154 minor league games. This story was a national phenomenon when he did get pulled up. I ran into Drew, that was like 6-8 weeks ago. We were out at a golf event, and we got talking about his next steps. And those of you that have seen us through the years, we like it when there are people in their next steps to visit with them and just see what they want to do. And of course, with Drew, the stories that you could tell of being in the minor leagues for 1,154 games, he turns 35 later this month. But we're going to chop it up with Drew, and very much looking forward to that. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, as always and through the years. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. The Diamondbacks are playing today, and I watched last night from start to finish. I'm hooked. I'm watching Jordan Montgomery last night, and he hadn't had a spring training, and he was really good. Like, I wanted him to stick in the game, but he'd thrown 98 pitches. He allowed 2 earned runs. You know, the team's going to be okay. Those of you that are on the side of the street of, get through baseball season, let's get on to football. No. You have Zach Gallen pitch and be effective in game one. In game two, you have Montgomery. Today, you have Slade Cerconi going. They move on to Baltimore. They get some good news on Eduardo Rodriguez and his shoulder, probably in June at some point. Merrill Kelly, it's probably late June, early July. Just hang in there around the wild card. That's all. And last night, saw a little bit of different offense. Suarez hit one out. Corbin Carroll was really good in game one. Last night he was shut out. I will watch them today and take it all in. I watched the Knicks and Pacers last night. All I did was watch sports. That's it. Sat in here, sat in there, took in Knicks Pacers. The Reggie Miller over the top by TNT is what you would expect. It was over the top. Like Spike Lee giving Reggie Miller before the game a framed and then had Reggie sign it. That's cool. I like that. That's fun. This whole love fest with the Knicks. And if you saw the game last night, the Pacers completely got screwed. They got completely screwed. But, they turned in a bunch of plays to the league. I want to say the last number I saw was over 40 plays. They turned into the league to say, why is this happening? Rick Carlisle said, we don't like being the small market team. They shouldn't be penalized, paraphrasing. Should be penalized, small market team versus big market team. That's just what the NBA is. The NBA loves to have the big teams on the big stage. They called a double dribble last night. It wasn't even a double dribble. I don't know what it was. They called an illegal screen in game one in the last moments that should never have been called. I don't know. So is there something fishy? You always think that. You don't want to think that, but you think it when you see a team like the Pacers get screwed. I don't like it when it's whining about officials. I don't like even leading with it. But the fact that they turned in so many plays and Rick Carlisle waved goodbye to a ref, asking basically, please throw me out of here. I am too well to attend. I think the point of the number of minutes that the Knicks are playing. Jalen Brunson's been unbelievable, but he's playing heavy, 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 heavy minutes. I would expect Boston to breeze through Cleveland starting tonight. I think the bigger question in watching like the Timberwolves-Nuggets series is, are the Suns even close? Like, it feels as though this roster, and they still haven't said anything about Frank Vogel. Now, today, the Mercury are having the media day. It's great. Eliav is down there. You'll see stuff on the site. It's great. But the Suns, here we are more than a week later, Evaluating? What is left to evaluate? Is it when you see the Timberwolves and say, you know what, our roster as it's constructed is not going to be able to compete long haul. We had a window. The window is closed. I would have to say right now, just look at who's left, the final four teams that are left. The Suns' window with this team, as it's currently constructed, is closed. Because nobody's going to be able to say, well, they just need to have some health. Well, they've got to go find the right point guard. Who do you find as a right point guard that you can afford? That you can afford when you're going to keep these big three, if that's the way you're going to go. So the fact that this is still dragging on with Frank Vogel tells me that it's, you know, Frank's in a pretty good position. He's going to get a huge check if he's punched out. I have to believe that this is all about assistant coaches. And there has to be some measuring of players. What do you think? As there should be. Star players should be asked about this. I had a different opinion on that years ago, but as times have changed and dollar figures and the whole business side has changed, I've come to the side of the street of star players should have a say. How much of a say? If Kevin Durant says, I can't play for this coach, that doesn't mean I punch the ticket, because I don't know how much longer Kevin Durant's going to be here. He had a great season. A great season. Great season. But Father Time always wins. So as this is dragging on, and I'm watching the playoffs every night, the basketball last night was really good. It was interrupted. The flow was interrupted by calls. But the Pacers' defense stunk at the end. And Jalen Brunson's just a badass. He's a bad man. He just doesn't care. The Cardinals have some, their rookies are being interviewed today. They have rookie camp this weekend. There's some college stuff. I think I'm going to save it for Wilner, what the Boise State coach said or didn't say about don't come here if you're looking for freshman NIL. Did he really say that, or did he mean it differently? And, you know, there's a program like Clemson that does not take, for the most part, transfer portal kids. So while everybody is running down this path, there's a couple programs that are saying, you know what, we're going to be a little bit different. Maybe Boise State doesn't have the collective. I'll talk more with Wilner about that on Monday. Drew Maggi is next, and then Goody. One of my favorite type of shows today, something off the beaten path. That's next. All right, as promised, I ran into Drew Maggi, it was like 6-8 weeks ago at Grass Clippings. It was our grand opening, and he's out there. He's bumping around with the baseball. We embrace. Are you going to play? I think I am. I want to get into broadcast. I hear all this and say, well, let's get him on and let's get into it. Okay, let's try this broadcast thing out, because you're not done, though, are you?
No. Thanks for having me. So I'm getting some independent ball offers right now. So we'll see if I do that, and then kind of waiting on teams, you know, maybe guys go down. But yeah, if I'm done, like you were saying, maybe broadcasting or starting a podcast or something like that.
What would you call your podcast?
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless. I had something about uneducated stupidity is what one person told me I should call what I do.
I like that.
Yeah, uneducated stupidity. I think it works. Yeah. I think there's something there. So you got to think about that. What would you want your shows to be like? I'm not pushing you out the door. I want you to keep playing, Drew. But let's just drill down on this for the audience. What do you want your shows to be like?
Honestly, just have baseball players, particularly, you know, grinder type guys that have gone through the minor leagues, maybe, you know, for years, just had a, you know, obstacles and had to overcome things to get to their ultimate dream. And yeah, just kind of an avenue for minor league guys, or, you know, even guys in college, guys that, you know, have the dream of playing in the big leagues, to just give them, you know, help along the way. 'Cause, you know, podcasting stuff wasn't that big when I was coming up, and you kind of had to ask people. And now you have, you know, Instagram, you have TikTok, all this stuff that
everybody.
Yeah. So you can, you know, you scroll on my podcast, and maybe it just helps you just a little bit. So something I'm passionate about, you know, as back end of my career, I kind of became a guy that, you know, would kind of help guys and try to give off, you know, things that I learned along the way. So,
well, look, what was it? 1,154 games.
Oh yeah.
Minor leagues. And you kept grinding. And then I get you, you're in a hotel in Pittsburgh when we saw each other last year on the show, and the country, I think the baseball world, like even the sports world was like, this is such a cool story. It's kind of a Netflix story. Now, have you thought about doing the Drew Maggi story over on Netflix?
So yeah, I'm actually going out to LA a couple weeks. There's a producer out there that I'm talking to that did Frequency and John Q.
Okay.
So that's kind of in motion. You know, I've never been a big like movie, you know, I've never done a movie, so I don't really know what I'm doing, but like how the process goes, but it's yeah, there's something there for sure. Getting a lot of interest.
Yeah. No, I mean, who would play you in the movie? That would be my number.
Ooh. You know, they said Miles Teller because, you know, he's from Philly. He's always at the Phillies games, big baseball guy. But, you know, what I was thinking that would be tough is just, you know, how many actors can play, you know, because you had Kevin Costner, but he was athletic, you know, like the way he pitched, he could swing, like it looked good. So you kind of have to match the actor with a little bit of athleticism too.
There's nothing worse than a sports movie where they're not athletic and there's just no way it happens. I sat across from George Clooney once for an interview that I did with him for a movie called Leatherheads. I don't know if you ever saw it or not.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I remember that.
Yeah, it was forgettable. Okay. It was just like, I'm watching it. You know, they fly us out, like 10 of us, and we go to this private screening. We go to a dinner. The next morning, it's three camera shoot, the Beverly Hills Four Seasons, makeup, whole thing. In walks George Clooney. The whole time, I'm thinking, this movie was not good. How do I... you know, how do I sell this? And they give you 5 minutes, Drew. And like on the dot, if it's, you're still talking, click, camera shut off.
Wow.
All I could come up with is like, so do you have ties to Phoenix? Oh yeah. You know, I have Steve Nash. He comes and plays basketball. Da, 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 da. And I'm in my head like, okay, that's 2.5 minutes. Okay. That's 3 minutes. It's three, like 3:45 into it with 1:15 to go. So tell me about this movie and what made you want to do it. Oh, thanks, George. And that was it. And I didn't want to be insulting. I can talk about that story pretty openly now. The movie didn't do much. So the point is...
Maybe he knew that.
Maybe he knew that, right.
Yeah.
And but you, to your point, you're only going to get one bite at the apple to tell your story. So you don't want to have the... That's not how you throw a baseball. That's not how it works. Because you probably have some stories that would be very funny. Like maybe...
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to share any of those or no?
Well, yeah. I mean, even my call-up story is pretty funny because, you know, I've been 13 years and, you know, I'm a veteran guy and usually we're in AAA, but I was in AA Altoona, which if you've never been there, I don't recommend it. But we were about 2 weeks in, I was struggling and we had a night game and then the next day it was supposed to rain all day. So our manager, you know, sent out a group text and was like, hey, game's at 6:00. Like, don't come to the field until 4:00. You know, we can't go on the field doing BP, like regular routine. So it was going to be basically a show and go day. And so it's about 2:00. It's pouring rain. And we get another group text that says, hey, team meeting at 2:30. And I'm probably 30 minutes away from the field. I don't have my car with me, so I have to Uber everywhere. And, you know, the Ubers in the rain in Altoona, it's hard to get an Uber in general. And then the rain factor. So I texted him. I go, hey, listen, I'm about 45 out. So he's like, all right, yeah, no worries. And so I get an Uber. It's past 2:30. I'm starting to get blown up from my teammates. You know, like, Madge, where are you? You would be the one that's late, all this stuff. So I finally get there and the whole team's just sitting in the locker room and they're all dressed and baseball stuff. I walk in, I'm like, all right, what do we got? You know, what's this meeting? Let's get this meeting going. what was so important. And I rip my shirt off. I sit down in my locker, kind of, you know, talking some smack. We're laughing. So manager comes out, and immediately, you know, I knew someone was going to the big leagues. Just his demeanor and the way he was talking. I've been in those meetings a million times. And for me, it's never been me. So my mindset has kind of shifted to, oh, I hope it's me, to, oh, who is it? You know, so now I'm like kind of scanning the room, like trying to figure out who's going up. And yeah, after, you know, about a 10 minutes emotional speech, he called my name, and yeah, it was, so, you know, I had the shirt off, I got up, I'm yelling, I'm barefoot in the video. So
yep.
Yeah, it was stuff like that.
Yeah, but you probably have some stories you can't share, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not for a kid audience.
Not for a kid audience. And that might be where something that uneducated stupidity might work into, if you're going to use that title, or your title, or that's the guy that you played alongside of, that it's, I don't know how this guy never made it. And here's some reasons why he didn't make it, that you guys don't want to do the same thing that he did.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you may not even have to name the guy. It's like, this, let me tell you something about this dude. And you have to say his name, and it's, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, he crashed and burned, I don't even know where he is today. Or there's this punky little kid. I'll use the Brock Purdy story. I always use the Brock Purdy story. I'm at a speaking event, National Football Foundation. I finish it. This kid in a tuxedo comes up to me, because there's all these kids with GPAs and tuxedos on stage. And this kid says to me, what community college should I be looking at? Because I have nothing right now. But they didn't know, the colleges didn't know, is Brock got a piece of cactus in his throwing hand during spring.
Oh, no way.
What they did know is he had mono the start of his senior year. So he didn't.
Oh, wow.
So I hugged him, Drew. I literally hugged him and said, I usually get crazy parent and crazy kid, and I'm being slept on and all the nonsense. And we did a couple stories on him. His dad reached out to some people. Boise State was the only one that flew him up. He gets off the plane. His little brother, Chubba Purdy, is much bigger, better looking.
Chubba.
Yeah, Chubba. All the college coaches go over to Chubba from Boise State. They're like, no, that's Brock over there, the smaller guy. We know how the story ended up, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you may have that guy that, you know what, I played alongside of this guy, and you may want to use his name. And this dude, when he showed up, he was 130 pounds, couldn't throw right or left, couldn't tie his shoes, and he went on and did this. So you know the message is, you never know the journey of somebody. Like, I'll just use you for example. You turn 35 later this month. Sorry to date you. You know,
halfway to 70.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I'm closer to 70. So, but it's your journey for you. You were somehow decided that I'm going to grind on this no matter how long it takes. And that in itself is very motivating. That in itself, you could go up on stage. You're a Brophy guy. We all have our hangups when I talk to Brophy guys, but you know, you could go on stage and speak to CEOs and corporations and say, this is my story. It's not the story.
Well, no, there is a lot in there. And I think there's a lot of people with stories like that too, that,
yep.
You know, for me and my story was, you know, there was just always something pulling me back into baseball. So there were so many times that even for me, you know, I wanted to hang them up and something would happen. So it was kind of a little bit of luck. And then a little bit of, you know, I always stayed in shape too. So I was always ready to go. So when I got a call, I mean, there was a couple times it was, hey Drew, this is blah, blah, blah with the Phillies. You want to sign with us? Here's your contract. We do it that day. I'm on a flight. I'm in the box, you know, 16 hours later. So, yeah, but, you know, back to the show. Yeah, with the guys that I couldn't tell you how many guys that I've seen that are way better than me that never even sniffed the big leagues.
Yeah.
And then you have the guys that you're like, oh, he has no chance. And he plays 10 years. So it's a wild, wild dynamic. And you just never know either.
I think you could do a whole episode on events that you saw at minor league games? You know, like back in the day, there was Disco Demolition Night at the White Sox years and years and years ago, way before you were born. But I still remember as a kid where they just destroyed disco albums on the field after the game was over. You probably saw promotions that didn't go well.
Who's the guy that does the hot dog eating contest? What's his name?
Oh yeah. You would ask.
I know.
The Nathan's hot dog. Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. He came out one time and I want to say it was like 80 pounds of popcorn or something. It was insane. And he's just crushing popcorn. And I'm leading off the game, and they did it right at home plate. So I go up to the plate, and there's popcorn all around I'm like, I mean, we couldn't get a cleanup over here.
Was that an Altoona?
No, that was in Indianapolis.
Yeah. So Altoona was one of the one dot towns that you were in. The one dot town that you're like, okay, this one dot town was a lot better than what I was expecting. Like when I heard I was going to go here, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go there. And that place actually was all right. That place was pretty good.
Are you asking if I've had places like that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know, honestly, Rochester, New York, you know, all those Northeast, you know, cities that, you know, once the summertime hits, I'm never there in the winter, obviously, but I mean, it's beautiful out. It's 70, 75 every day. I mean, you get some rain, but the summers are beautiful. So, I mean, I really enjoyed Rochester, New York. Oklahoma City was okay. It was hot. Lehigh Valley, kind of the same thing as Rochester.
Lehigh Valley.
That's in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, playing up in those leagues. What's funny about Altoona is that's where I started my career too. Because I was with the Pirates from 10 to 14, and from 12 to 14, I was in Altoona. And then, you know, I came all the way back 9 years later. So it was a little traumatic walking in there as a 34-year-old.
Sure.
Same smells, same people.
Yeah. Is it traumatic for you to talk about this stuff?
No. I mean, I just got over it, but no, I'm just kidding. It's something that, I mean, going to a small city and playing baseball for your life is, I mean, it's just I love that. You know, it's like the survival of the fittest type place, because everyone on the team's going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you're just competing against, you know, everything, everyone, play, even the place you're at. So, and the people there were great. Like, you know, people get along with people. So, you know, wherever I go for that. But as far as the stadium, and I mean, I think the chant, they had a Champs there, and that was like their big restaurant.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I want to do this more often. I need to go
find a
sponsor. I need to go promote it. You're going to go be a star on Netflix. You're going to get called. You're going to get a phone call. So if you got a call today, because I got to run, but I do want to know this. If you get a call right now, you could be at the airport and somewhere in a dugout tonight. You're just that dialed.
Oh, yeah. I kind of adapted that personality. I had to. So, and then just, yeah, the never give up thing that, you know, kind of, you know, I said that in one of my interviews, and it's kind of my motto now is, you know, the whole time I was kind of doing that without even knowing. Yeah. I was just, you know, keep going, keep moving. So, yeah, if someone called me now, I'd be ready to go.
That's cool. I will let you go off of this, but I'd like to chat with you again when I have more time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You got it, Drew. There's Drew Maggi. He's hanging in there. He's doing his thing. And we're back with more after this time out. All right. Goody is with us for a few minutes. We have not talked to Bill Goody Kuntz in quite some time over at AZ Central. I'm not mad at him. He's just been busy. I've been busy. I had to cover a terrible Suns team. And, you know, all this stuff gets away. Goody is not able to, he's driving, so you're not going to see him. You're only going to hear him, which is different because we like seeing you. Where are you right now? You're driving somewhere in America. Where are you?
I am in the great Midwest. I just crossed over from Texas to Oklahoma on my way to the University of Missouri.
And
if all goes well, I will take my first trip through the Ozarks today on the way there.
And you're going to University of Missouri because you have a family member that goes there, right?
Yes, my youngest daughter just finished her freshman year and is the new incoming editor-in-chief of the University of Missouri newspaper.
That is chip off the old block. That is so great. My youngest son is finishing his first year at Colorado State tomorrow. So I am right there with you, partner, right there with you. Other than he's going to get on a plane and come home. So you're somewhere in the middle.
The drive seemed like a good idea when I got a new car, but now it's.
Yeah. So you're in the middle of nowhere, it sounds like. So you went out, we're going to do a little bit of, cause we can't see, we're just going to guess. So you went out I-40 and you went through Albuquerque. Right. And then Tucumcari.
Right. Yes.
So I'm wondering how many Loves or IHOPs have you passed? How many Loves trucks?
A lot.
And IHOPs?
A lot. But this is sort of like the drive from I-10 to Dallas from Phoenix. You do go through long stretches where there's nothing. I mean, no gas stations, no nothing. That's all right.
Do you, when you're driving along, do you have a column that comes into your mind? Because I would think you've got a column in you. Like you've stopped at, let's just say, Tucumcari, and you dot population of 5, whatever it is, and you ate at a diner or something. Are you going to write on this, Bill?
Well, are you still there?
I'm here. I know how this segment's going to go. This is going to be a rough one, but it's okay. It's fine. Go ahead.
The sound keeps cutting out. Yes, I often do. I have columns that it's like, I run every morning. I run 4 miles every morning, and it's the same sort of thing. I got these great ideas pop into my head, just like the best column that you've ever read in your life. And by the time I'm done, I can't remember a word of it. or I'll just remember some lesser version of it. People probably dream about the same kind of thing. I do. I've also tried to write, and write in quotation marks, but I will use recording software.
Yeah.
To try to sort of to dictate a story.
Yeah.
To myself, and it does. I don't know if you've been a TV guy, a radio guy. I don't know if you think the same way. I sort of think through my fingers, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like it's hard for me. It's not real unless I type it.
No, I think that's fair. I dabble. I do my 3-dot thoughts, and lots of people read it, and it's nothing that's going to win awards or anything. It's just here's some thoughts. I've never experimented with AI in that regard. I have to feel.
Good.
Yeah, I have to feel it too when I'm sitting around. It's like, okay, I've got like 10 things that are on my mind. And whether they're grammatically correct, whether it's my mind. My mind is not grammatically correct at times. I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely fine with it. And as I've been doing it through the years, the readers seem to be, or the people that take it in, seem to be accepting that, yeah, this is not going to be the King's English. Because sometimes you're going to get... you're going to get sideways with something. So,
well, I read your 3-dot columns too, and I think that one of the reasons that people read it is because it sounds like you. And I think that like having an authentic voice is more important than as you say, like speaking the King's English or something. I would rather it was like if we're having this conversation, I would rather have this conversation with you the same way that reading your column is like. Talking to you than I would having someone translate it to me.
Sure. Are you worried about AI in your gig?
Sure. A little bit. I wonder if I'm sort of on the, what do they say? I'm definitely on the back nine. I could probably see the clubhouse from here. But I don't know. But I wonder about the, if I'll be around long enough for it to supplant me. I hope not. I don't think that it will, because I think that some of the experiments that different papers and publications and websites have tried have shown that, at least for now, it's not ready. People can tell, and they haven't liked it. I hope that there's always a place for like actual humans to tell stories.
No, I full on agree with you. You know, and I don't mean to be direct with you on that. It's just your voice is very your voice is very unique in the market, and you have a way with words that a robot cannot say. Well, no, we're gonna change this and we're gonna change that. And when I do read, because I consume a lot, you know, there's a website called U.S. Sports Pages. It's every sports page in the nation or around the world, actually, and every day it gets updated. So you can see pretty quickly the ones that are using AI and like, okay, this is, I am done going here because I don't need to, I don't need to have somebody, especially when it goes over on the college, like the pro stuff, it's still being covered by an actual human. I can see where the college and high school are now being given to AI just the way that it's written. And it's, you know, it's crap. It's garbage. It's just, okay, we're not going to pay somebody. We're just going to do something to get our click count, and that's it.
Right. So yeah, you know, just writes a headline that will generate, you know, that will get the Google algorithm interested, and they don't really care what's beyond that. I don't know. My hope is that until there is like a sort of a well-meaning hillbilly setting on AI, that I'll be okay. But but we'll see.
Well, being hillbilly. Okay, Goody's with us for a few minutes. He's in the middle of nowhere. I suppose you and I could do this for 2 hours because you have nothing in front of you. Have you passed the Loves yet or an IHOP this morning on your travails, Bill?
Yeah, of course I have. I passed like 10. Hey. I just passed. I'm in Elk City, Oklahoma, evidently, where there is a really big statue of an elk, which I guess makes sense if you're going to call yourself. You're going to be Elk City. You need an elk.
That's it.
I've not seen an actual elk. I have not seen a living elk, but I have seen.
You might have seen a few dead elks. You might have seen a few dead elk on the road, not just living. Have you had time to see If yet?
I have not seen If yet.
What are you hearing about?
A little bit later. I'm hearing about that – like we're hearing about everything now that people have high hopes for it and they just don't know if it's going to pan out. I think that movies are in kind of a tricky spot right now. I think that a lot of the stuff that you and I have talked about over the last few years, first with the pandemic, you know, literally closing everything down, and then the strikes, the dueling strikes last summer, sort of messing up the, I hate using this term because it got so overused, but the supply chain, I guess you would call it, of movies. You know, If would have been like the traditional big summer blockbuster, the same way like this week, The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is the, like the traditional summer blockbuster. And as you recall, because we used to go see them all the time, it used to be, it was one right after the other. Yep. Every Friday in the summer, it's like, oh man, here's another giant movie. Oh man, here's yet another giant movie. That's just not the case anymore. And I feel like If is a big one, but I don't know that it has that. I was going to say it certainly doesn't have that Barbie feel, but as it turns out, nothing had the Barbie feel. But I like John Krasinski as a director. I think it should be interesting. I think everybody likes Ryan Reynolds. But it's everything right now just – nothing really has that can't miss feel. Does that make sense? Do you know what I mean?
Sure. That's a good name for a song. No, I think what you saw what Seinfeld said last week about the movie industry, right? You saw that?
He says it's, he just means his movie. he says it's not, but I think there is some truth to that. People, they're still trying to sort out. I think the pandemic just kind of accelerated the trend of people, you know, deciding it kind of is a lot of money to go see a movie. And my TV looks pretty good. TVs have improved a lot in their quality. So I think it's going to take a lot to get people to the movies in droves. I mean, some people are going to go because it is a different experience, and I think it's a better experience. But some people either can't afford that experience or don't want to afford that experience all the time. And I think that you know, a movie like It seems like something you ought to see in the theater. The same way, like Oppenheimer, you know, that's a movie that if you didn't see in the theater, you missed out.
I agree.
But I think that, but I do think that, you know, your Barbies and your Oppenheimers accepted. They're really struggling for the kind of thing that Seinfeld was talking about, of where it's an event, where everybody's talking about it. And I think that that's one of the things that people were so excited about last summer with Barbie and Oppenheimer, was that people were talking about it. They were making plans to go to the movies together and wear, you know, pink shirts and fedoras and make it a double feature. And you just, that hadn't happened in a long time, and I'm not sure when it's going to happen again.
Now, my wife was asking me about If, and my radar is one that, okay, mom of four, yeah, they're almost all out of the house except one, but she's still in that circle of, if she's asking me about it, then I better have my radar up, because it means that mass audience is kicking that around. That's how she's wired. Like Mad Max is next week. I don't know if you're going to be back in time for that one.
I will be.
Yeah, and it's Monday, right? I'll see you.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yes. Yeah.
And there's been a push on that one. I feel like there's been a push to let's get people out there to go see it. And I would say that, that when I look at my monthly bills and I see how much I'm paying for Hulu and Max and YouTube and Netflix and Peacock and all that stuff. And yes, it's for my business. I can just write it off, but it's still the average person cannot do that. And that part of the industry, I think, has got to get fixed, because you can go watch the movie Apple Plus. You can go watch a great Oppenheimer, I think, was on Apple TV. I could be wrong. It was on one of them. But if you don't subscribe to it, okay, now I got to subscribe to that. And oh, by the way, they're going to take another $5.99 a month out. Or the NFL is going to say, we're going to go to Netflix and we're going to put games on Christmas Day. Okay, honey, that's going to be another bill, one less Christmas present. There's got to be a point of oversaturation, Bill.
Well, I think there has already been for a lot of people. And I think that what you're seeing now is, I mean, Disney just announced one yesterday.
Yep.
They're going back to bundling a lot.
Yep.
And what it ends up being is what the cable bundle was, except through streaming, not through cable. You're talking about the NBA on Christmas Day and stuff like that. I like watching the Diamondbacks. I've enough that I've spent $99 on the MLB app that allows me to watch them and to not get blacked out and everything. And because I also like YouTube TV, but I feel like I'm being kind of boxed into a corner with all this stuff.
Yep.
I complained about my cable bill just like everybody else did. I guess in some regards, it's sort of the devil, you know. At least back then, I was paying a lot, but I was watching everything I wanted to see.
Yeah. Goody's with us for a few minutes. I'll get you out of here off this. Your daughter is going into the industry. She's getting a great spot at her college. Do you worry that she's going in the wrong industry? Meaning, do you wish somebody would have told you? Because this is out there. And I myself, I have no regret being in media. I love it. It's been great. I'm not going to sit here and bash the industry or their problems. There's problems in every industry. Okay. But do you sit there as a dad and say, you might want to think about a backup plan?
No, I do that with every kid in every industry, you know, every job that they go into, but this one just hits a little closer to home. I worry about, and it's a thing that I've told her, that if you're good at this and not good, it seems like she has an affinity for it. She has a talent for it. If you're good at it, and if you work really, really hard, if you can really tell stories, there ought to be a place for you.
Yeah.
But it's not going to look like what I do, right? And it's not going to look like what you do. It's going to look like something that we don't know about yet. I mean, you're going to have to adapt. You're going to have to learn. Like, you're always going to have to be evolving. And I think if anybody, I've always thought this anyway, anybody who says, well, we should do it this way because that's how we've always done it, you should fire them on the spot.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what I tell her. You've worked really hard at telling stories and worked really hard at making yourself adaptable. And there should be something for you. Knock wood.
That's very fair.
Weirdly, nobody's ever asked me to write a self-help book.
Are you going to be just buried in politics? Next time I talk to you, you haven't seen a movie. You're not going to be, it's going to be all political for you, isn't it?
Well, I still go to the movies because it's like a nice little valve of sanity. I wrote a little escape hatch. I wrote the other day that, you know, it was when Stormy Daniels had testified in Trump's trial.
Yeah.
And one of the things that occurred to me and the way that they're covering it is like, oh, you know, she said this, she said that. And I wrote this column about how, pull back here just a second. This isn't normal. We're covering this like it's another day in court. This is a porn star talking about an alleged affair with the former president in a criminal trial. And we're just covering it like a speeding ticket or something. Like this isn't normal. And I'm not saying, you know, pick your side, vote for who you're going to vote for, whatever. But you can't ignore that this is bizarre beyond belief. And that threats to democracy, saying that you're going to, you know, like dismantle a lot of the tenets of democracy. If that's what you want, that's what you want. But don't ignore it. Don't pretend like we're talking about higher taxes or lower taxes here. We're talking about some real stark choices here. And I think that that's what, well, you know, for the next 6 months, we're really going to have to, anybody that's worth their salt is really going to have to dig into that.
When she was testifying, I felt a little bit like OJ. You know, I was on the radio side when the OJ thing went down. You remember KTAR? We carried the wall. We carried every last piece.
Yeah.
And I felt the other day like this could end up being something like that, because in my circles, that's all anybody was talking about. Anybody was talking about the porn star talking about the former president. Like, oh my gosh. And it's a curiosity factor.
It's just, what, I mean, I just think you, when you attack it's a weird thing to attack the institutions that this country's based on while you still demand their protection. It's weird, and it's a weird time to live through. But you know, we got through OJ. I hope we'll get through this.
Safe travels. Congratulations. You're going to drive her back, so the two of you will spend marvelous time together. I remember doing that with one of my daughters. And you'll be able to count the Wendy's if you go through the right freeway corridor, or the number of old. I think there's a drive somewhere between I-70 and I-40 that I ended up on, where it's nothing but old towns that were abandoned and rail cars that are rusted out. And it was like 3 hours.
Oh, man.
It was dreadful. It was just, oh, God. It was Salina to Tucumcari. Just dreadful, just miserable drive. So hopefully you don't have
it. It's tough. My plan was, I'll take my time if I see something that I want to do. You know, I'll just take that detour and I'll go look at it. And of course, once I got on the road, it's like, I cannot wait to get to the hotel. I'm going to go as fast as I can.
See you later. Safe travels.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you.
There is Goody, Bill Goody Koontz. Make sure that you check his content out. And we're back with more at AZ Central. We're back with more after this time out.